This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good evening, Champa Bay. Once again, we have another Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen special. I am your host, the real Lisa V. I'm often imitated, but I'm never duplicated. And do I have an incredible show getting ripped with Lisa V. We have amazing athletes. Sugar Sean Ray is going to be our first guest. We also have the amazing oldest bodybuilder, Iris Davis. And we also have an amazing, amazing bodybuilder, Layla Hanna, going to be on. Also, my director and my boss from Global Bodybuilding Organization, Dan the Man Olson, he's going to be on shortly. But I am so blessed to have my co-host here, John Horning.
Hello.
And what we're going to do is we are going to open with a prayer, and John is going to be so gracious as to open up the show and do our prayer. So, John, take it away.
Lord, we thank you tonight for your son that you sent for us. We failed as men in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam we lost, but you sent the last Adam, which is the Son of Man, which is the Lamb that was slain on Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, because of his sacrifice and his death, and that you raised him on the third day, that all that believe in him are raised with him. And Lord, all we can do is thank you for that, because without your son, we would get exactly what we deserve, because that's what our nature requires, is judgment, your judgment. But because of your son, he paid, and we're free. We want to thank you tonight for that, and thank you for this opportunity with these great athletes. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I have been so blessed these last few days. And all I can say is when you know, you have to be obedient to God. And in my book, Taken by Surprise, How God Saved Me Literally, I'm hoping, you know, God's going to help me finish it, and it'll be out, you know, sometime the end of September. But God is literally, you have to be obedient when God tells you to do something. And we have guests on this show that I have been so honored and so blessed to meet. And they're going to be calling in. And once again, anybody wants to call in and ask questions, it's 727-441-3000. So 727-441-3000. And I know that somebody's on the phone. I couldn't hear exactly.
We have Dan Olson on the phone.
Okay. All right. I am so blessed that right now I have our GBO, my GBO director, that is Global Bodybuilding Organization. We are bringing a show here to St. Pete at the Palladium downtown. It is September 24th, and Dan, are you there, and are you ready to tell us what's going on and what happened at the Miami Classic, which was a great show, and we're 4 weeks, about a little bit more than 4 weeks out, 4 weeks and a day for the show that is coming to St. Pete called the West Coast Classic. And those of you who can see Facebook Live right behind me, we have the medal, which is literally like right behind me. So I'm excited. Dan, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Lisa V, how are you doing?
I'm just ecstatic. I couldn't even hardly sleep last night because of the guests that are going to be on. And I know they will be calling in shortly here. So I am just so excited. But please, if you would do me the honor to explain, you know, about GBO, Bob Johnson being the president. But if you would give us a little bit of a background of GBO, you know, how it got started and how it's taking over Florida, I would really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. GBO started back in 2015. Bob Johnson and his wife, Laura, were challenged to make a better organization. So they did. And what it is, it's a great opportunity for athletes to
no problem
in a friendly atmosphere, family friendly, and it just has grown from there. Geez, I think it's in 32 different countries now, and continue to grow. We've got huge competitions. We got the Atlas with huge payouts, so things are going really well. GBO Florida started when I came down here about 4.5 years ago on a job offer I couldn't refuse, and just kind of happened to step in the right places at the right time. So we've came through some huge challenges through the, well, I'll call it what it is, the pandemic. I call it the scamdemic, but anyway, we've made it through there, and we've just come off of a weekend with a GBO Miami Classic. Tremendous show, kind of a small show, but the athletes were world-class that stepped on stage. We got a couple pro cards that are also going to try to compete at the Atlas, and I think they'll hold their own. We currently have a Miss Atlas Beachbody right here in Orlando, Florida, and she's going to go retain her title, and hopefully we'll pick up a couple more titles and bring back to Florida. And you're right, you touched on the GBO Florida West Coast Classic coming up September 24th right there at St. Petersburg. The Palladium Theater, which is a really cool venue. They are really going to accommodate for the athletes and the spectators as well. They're all excited about the lights and sound system that they're going to provide, and the refreshments that will be there, and it's just going to be a great atmosphere. We're going to put on a great show for the athletes and the spectators, and hopefully give out a couple more pro cards.
Yes, that will definitely be an incredible show. And I tell people how, you know, like when you're obedient to God, and I was on Facebook a couple years ago, and I kept seeing, you know, Bob Johnson's, you know, photo and this you know, body GBO, you know, emblem. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't think much of it. Then about a week later, God's like, reach out to this guy. And I'm like, what am I? I used to be 315 pounds. Like, what do I, how am I, why am I reaching out to this gentleman? And sure enough, I reach out, I call him. And the funny thing is, thinking that I won't even hear from him, you know, ever, because, you know, not everybody, if you're not friends on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, that people, you know, think it's a scam or whatever. And I'm literally have a mouthful of food, and he calls like right back, and I'm like, oh no, I gotta answer this. And I'm like, hello, give me a second. But it was God, because as soon as we started talking, I said, look, I said, you know, this is who I am. I really love bodybuilding. I was raised around it. The joke is I've been drinking, you know, Dynamic Body Shaper, Joe Weider, and Muscle Builder when I wasn't supposed to as a child. But literally when God says you're moving, you know, to a different level and a different situation in your life, you have to be obedient, because trust me, my book, Taken by Surprise, How God Saved Me, literally, you'll see when I didn't listen to God, how it didn't go very well. But next thing you know, I'm put in touch with you. And then here we are, you know, 2 years later, bringing an amazing show to St. Petersburg, the Palladium, which they've hosted many, many events there and other bodybuilding events there. And so they really have a great, great setup. And it's funny, because I never thought in a million years that I would be singing the national anthem and emceeing a show, which I did for you at the Miami Classic. And it's funny when you just realize that you're supposed to do something in your life, and everybody says you're supposed to be on TV, radio, like you, that's what you're supposed to be. And I, you know, except for my situation, I was hoping to be on that stage in Miami, but due to, you know, cancer and everything, I was unable to. But Dan, I think you and I can admit here that. Pardon me.
Let me correct you. In one aspect, you were. You did
right.
An amazing job as our MC.
Thank you.
That was your first time doing something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the radio, but to actually MC a show from start to finish,
live,
never.
Yes. Yes, I will say you did a tremendous job, and can't wait to have you back on that at that podium again.
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait. But I'm even more excited. I couldn't sleep last night. John, my co-host, who his father, Joseph Avil, was actually, him and Corey Weber were on my first ever Getting Ripped show, along with football player Stephen Faulkner, and he's up playing arena football in Tennessee. But it's just crazy how, like, full circle, here we are, and due to, you know, Joseph and Corey's schedule, they were, you know, unable to make this show, and, you know, John is here with me, and what I'm so excited about is, once again, a week ago, I'm scrolling through and seeing people's Facebooks and Instagrams, and God says, you need to reach out to this athlete, this, you know, pro. I mean, like, I'm laughing. I'm like, God, are you serious? Like, do you see who this person is? Like, what are they going to do? You know, they're not going to answer me. They don't even know who I am. I don't have a lot of people on Instagram. I have everybody on Facebook. I'm switching over. And God said, you know, once again, do you not trust me? And I do. And I am so, so blessed. If I'm not mistaken, he is on the phone right now. I am like, ah, ecstatic. But Sugar, Sean Ray, are you there?
I'm here. I hear some music.
That is your music. I specifically made sure. Sugar, how'd you get so fly?
All right, now.
Yeah.
That, baby like
I'm sorry, say that again. We had a little bit of a bad connection.
I'm sweet, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But I can't even, like, I still can't believe that I'm, you know, on the radio with you right now. But your portfolio, I've been following you. I mean, you know, we're talking from, you know, 1980 on up, and, you know, 13-time Olympia. I mean, you just literally paved the way for everybody who's coming through now. And my director has a question for you. My co-host has a question for you. And of course, I have a question for you, and if we, any of our listeners...
I feel like I'm on the witness stand.
I know, right? I know, you feel like it's on witness stand for sure. But I would like to go first, and I think I'm either going to, like, totally impress you and go, wow, that's a great question, or you're going to go, oh my gosh. But no, I know it's going to be a fine question. But knowing what you know now, when you started bodybuilding, knowing exactly what you know now, what, if anything, would you have done different?
Well, I think it pretty much went according to the script. I don't know that I'd want to undo any of the episodes, adventures. I always kind of prefaced my contest experience as a journey. It's a journey from day one. You don't know what's around the next been. Like, this is a contest of subjective opinion where you don't control your fate. No matter how hard you train or how hard you eat or who you're working with, you don't control the outcome. So when you prepare for something, you don't control the outcome, you got to be prepared for what, for the aftermath. And I put myself in a pretty good position from day one because I had the gift of gab coming out of the box. I was a historian. So I studied the sport of bodybuilding. I met all of my idols along my journey through the industry, and I was a sponge, read everything, watched everything, did everything from competing to training people to promoting contests, muscle camps, sponsoring athletes, being a sponsored athlete, booking my flights and hotels and setting my evaluation for my appearance fees, whether seminars or guest posing. Or meet and greet. So I've done everything there is to do. I was a journalist. I was an editor. I am an editor-in-chief right now at Digital Muscle. I was also a master of ceremonies for many years. I still do that. But I've done everything in the sport of bodybuilding there is to do, and I meant it that way. I wanted to do everything. The only thing I've never done is actually judge a show. As a competitor, there's nothing I can go back and do. I had a good sniff at the title. Second twice in 94, 96. Spent my top 12 years in the top five. I don't control where I placed, but I was in the hunt. I was in the fight, and I, you know, came up short against three guys that won the title 22 consecutive years. And when I look it back at the people that were denied that title during those 22 years, there's a lot of Hall of Fame bodybuilders and some of my idols, Bob Paris, Lee Labrada, Mike Christian, Flex Wheeler, Kevin Lavrone. None of these guys got a chance to walk away with that Olympia title. So me being denied of my dream of winning it didn't diminish the aspect of the journey. And that's where I made my relationships, where I made my money, created my livelihood, 21 years in retirement. I'm still here. I still love it. I'm passionate. With social media, you know, we kind of control our own publicity, but we also get to hear the haters directly. Not everyone loves you in this industry when you are out there doing things, and I just enjoy the business of bodybuilding, so I wouldn't do anything different.
Okay, great. I mean, no, that's exactly, because, you know, some people go, you know, what I know now, but you're like, nope, exactly what I went through, the trials, the tribulations, and, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and, you know, this is my show, so I can say what I want. You know, you were robbed. When people are out there and a little bit controversial and may not follow the norm, because, you know, I've been researching, and, you know, sometimes in bodybuilding, it's not, you know, what you look like, it's who you know and who's your sponsor and all that. And sometimes that can be, you know, take away from the athletes that, you know, do deserve a title, but because they've spoken out or they've done something, they were unable to. But I know that Dan, you're still on the phone there, correct?
Yes.
And I know Dan, my promoter, has a question for you. So go ahead, Dan.
Well, I had some other questions. I think I met Sean way back in the 90s, back in my early days as well. And always wanted to congratulate you and said that I looked up to you. But currently I'm part of the Global Bodybuilding Organization. I'm the Florida State Director. And I had other questions, but this one came up when you said that you didn't have a judging opportunity. And I want to send to you, if you have an opportunity to get to Tampa area, in St. Petersburg specifically, on September 24th, would you like to sit at a GBO judges panel and judge a nice little friendly, family-friendly atmosphere, but a world-class competition?
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, the reason I said I have a judge is by choice. Judging was never been something I wanted to do. I've done everything from, like I said, writing, promoting, marketing, sponsoring. Judging's never been something in my wheelhouse that I felt as an individual could contribute to any type of real impact on the sport, because I admire all of them, from first to last. And typically if I'm sitting there watching a contest, my likes are vastly different. The girls that I like in bikini, for example, or even wellness, they never win. Some of the bodybuilders that I like in bodybuilding, they never win, because I like what I like. And I'm not a conformist. I don't really have the trained eye to specifically say he's better than this person when I actually like the things that I like. I like certain looks. I like certain physiques. When I say that, I'm very biased towards the artsy person. Like, I love Vince Gironda. I love Labrada. I love Bob Paris. You put anything up next to it, it's very hard for me to conform to some other opinions and mine gets thrown out. I'd be pissed off if I was a judge. I couldn't do it, so I never did it.
Yeah, right.
It would take the fun away from it.
Because all your favorites are my favorites, too. And I kind of feel that same way, but when I sit at the judges' table, because I do a lot of head judging as well, it's business. It's all about criteria,
yeah.
And you got to close out all your own feelings and all your own likes.
And I can't do it. I'd be fighting with the other judges because I have such strong opinions.
No, you wouldn't be fighting, Sean. You would win hands down with the other judge. That would be like no competition there. I mean, come on. You know, that's.
I admire the judges. That's a hard job that I think I stay away from because I couldn't do it. I know where my strengths are, so I'd rather be a spectator than actually judge, and I actually enjoy it more than, you know, it's hard enough being an analyst. I'm a critique guy. I've done these shows on the pay-per-view and on the webcast, and it's tough just being, you know, critical, and at the same time you have to salvage it because there's people that, or the husbands and the wives and the kids are watching sometimes, and you get lost in this critique and comes off the wrong way, and next thing you know, you have your haters coming for you. So judging for me as an individual is not my strength in terms of contributing to the sport, so I've avoided it. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, if you, and hopefully next year, if you're in the area, you know, we can make it happen. Maybe you would be kind enough to, you know, even be a guest poser at one of our events in Florida. That would be like awesome. But I know John, you know, I told John that, you know, you were going to be on the show, and John was like, really? Yes, this is who's going to be on Getting Ripped with Lisa V. And John has been so gracious to be my co-host this evening.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, and John, please go ahead. You have Sean's attention.
I would like to just say, first of all, that you are an absolute legend in our family. I mean, you are who goes on the wall, and we look at while we lift. You know, we want to look like you know, but I wanted to ask, thank you for taking these questions. You'd mentioned some role models that you looked up to while bodybuilding. You mentioned Bob Paris. I did a little research before coming on, and Chris Dickerson, and the aesthetic kind of looks. And I wanted to ask, do you see anybody in the classic physique divisions and these divisions that focus more on aesthetics that remind you of these guys like Bob Paris and Chris Dickerson, these aesthetic types? Do you see?
Yeah, every once in a while I get taken back there. It's hard. And it's hard to find sometimes, like music that takes you back to a time and a place that you really can enjoy. Like the music I hear sometimes on the radio today, I can't get with it, so I've got to go back to classic rock or soft rock or slow R&B to really appreciate the beauty of vocals and singing instead of the hard-banging noise that we hear. When I look at the bodybuilders on stage, a lot of them I'm seeing slabs of muscle and beef, but I don't see the quality, I don't see the proportions, I don't see the class and the grace and elegance. I think that's where classic physique was born, trying to get back to that, trying to put the genie back in the bottle so that we're not just looking at size, we're looking at physiques. And you get glimpses. I mean, the champions they're picking are in line and in sync with what I, you know, was missing for many years in terms of what drew me to the sport. Chris Bumstead is the classic physique Olympia 3 years in a row for a reason, and he fits all the criteria and checks all the boxes. I enjoy watching his physique. The presentations have gotten way better than bodybuilding in the classic physique, and that's good to see with guys like Terrence Ruffin and Breon Ansley, even just the fact that some of them attempt to bring back the art of posing in concert and in sync with the music, recognizing that they're on stage and they're the artist and the performer. That's lost in open bodybuilding. 212 bodybuilding, open bodybuilding, you just click the music on, they go out there, they stomp around from one side to the next, hit some musculars, then they're out of breath and they leave the stage, and you have no idea what you just saw. You don't remember the song, you don't remember the presentation, you don't really see the effort.
Seems like you need to put a toothpick in them to keep them from falling apart at some times.
And they're not even conditioned to do the work. You know, like they're not in shape to do a two-minute posing routine. If you go back and you start looking at some of my routines that I did for those years, the majority of them are 3 minutes longer. And it was the whole song, not just chunks of songs slapped together with background noise and no choreography. So I see some of that now in the classic physique guys making an attempt to go back and emulate some of the things that I fell in love with when I came up with in terms of the art of the pose. Samir Banu, Chris Dickerson, Bob Paris, they understood it. Vince Taylor was coming up underneath John Brown like I did. We understood it. We realized that the only thing that people are going to remember at the end of the night is your presentation. I mean, they're going to see some great physiques, but what's going to separate you is how you present it. And that was instilled in me as a teenager, and it stayed with me through my career. Now, as an older person watching the sport of bodybuilding, I don't see the time, I don't see the effort, I don't see the intent to let the fan remember, you know, the routine. The routine counts for nothing, and it's just, you know, it's a guest posing at best for the majority of the open guys. So classic physique guys, I'm more drawn to.
Right, and I know also, you know, the era that we're talking about, and you know, I used to cut my neighbor's grass so I could buy, you know, the muscle and fitness magazines, Corey Everson, Bev Francis, Carla Dunlap, Rachel McLeish. But there was also a few men that I, you know, I followed, and Samir was one of them. I've reached out to him and he answered me. But there was also somebody that I know that you were you know, involved with, and that was a Boyer Cole. I mean, I remember as a kid sitting with my dad watching, and you know, bodybuilding, you're right, it's not the same. It literally, you know, everybody wants to do it. Everybody is, you know, a motivational speaker, everybody's a personal trainer, but the ones, you know, we're talking years ago when, you know, all these, you know, I wouldn't say fad diets and this and that. It's a passion. And obviously you knew from the get-go what you wanted to do for your life. And because of you doing what you love, you've been able to, you know, inspire many, many people and get them into, you know, it's a lifestyle. You know, it's not just something that you do. And those who, you know, now who are doing it for the money, for the fame, for the social media, you can see that. You know, you can definitely see that you paid the price, you know, you know, old workouts, you know, before all these, you know, machines and everything, and it's, you know, free weights and everything. But I do have, I'm excited because I have Iris Davis. She's one of the oldest bodybuilders in the world. She's a world record holder. Iris, are you there?
Yes, I am, Lisa. Nice to talk with you.
Same here. I'm so glad that you were able to take time out of your schedule, just like Sean and just like Dan, and we also have Layla Hannah coming up. And I'm excited because social media brought this together. I mean, God first, but there would be no way I would be able to reach out to Sean or yourself, you know, via telephone, via letter, via, you know, whatever. But this is such a I call it like a pathway to fitness and helping people. But Iris, I know that you would like to ask Sean a question, and I know Sean would be, you know, honored also to, you know, hear from you. And please give us a little bit of a breakdown of your background. I know that you are the world record holder with pull-ups at 78 years old. I mean, you look amazing. And, you know, you've been a pioneer, and you were back in the gyms when there were only men in the gyms. You know, I was lucky. I dated a football player, and I was also an athlete. So I was able to be in the locker room working out with the male football team, doing squats, doing all of that. But if you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself, and, you know, you have the floor.
Okay. Hi, Sean. I know of you.
Hi.
Very well. I've been following you for many years, and I do admire you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Iris. Do you have any other, if you would give us a breakdown of how you started in bodybuilding, and then you can ask Sean any question you like, because I know that he has an answer for it, no problem. He's got all the answers.
Yeah. When I started, it was a total different world for me. I was 22, newly widowed, and the death of my first child also. And I suffered from great trauma and depression at such an early age. So I just wanted to look after myself and stay healthy. And I started walking up and down the streets of London, where I lived at the time. And that's all I did, just walked. There were no pin-ups. There were no female bodybuilders. There wasn't even a photograph in a magazine of a famous Hollywood star with a bikini on, for example. So I entered into a world that I had no idea what it was about. And so I learned the hard way. I was not allowed in gyms to start with because I looked about 13 years old. And gyms were not as they are now. They were just big sweaty pits for men. Women were not allowed in. So again, I just walked up and down the street. I came to the USA at age 22. And that was my first time I ever went into a gym. And I just copied the men, and I found out that when I was in the gym, I was not depressed. I was just so excited at what I was doing because I was keeping my mind occupied, which is what I wanted. And I found if I'm in the gym, I wasn't sitting at home on the couch crying.
Right.
And that's how it started. So I had no idea I was going to evolve into a champion. Champion wasn't even in my mind. All I knew was I just needed to keep active. And I'm astounded more than anyone else that I've actually reached the top of my profession. I'm also a pioneer in the sport. I'm a little bit nervous on the show, if you can tell by my voice.
No, you're doing fine. There's no need to be nervous. I tell everybody just talk like talking to the phone like you're talking to me. I tell everybody we're having a conversation that other people can hear, but you're doing great, Iris.
Okay, thanks. I entered my first show in 1994 when I was 50 years of age. A couple of the guys in the gym said I looked good and I should enter. I didn't even know there was such a thing as shows for women. So I entered, and I had to compete with the men because they didn't have a category for me.
Wow.
So after the class, I was a class of seven men, and I got second.
Wow.
And you also reminded me, you reminded me of something, Sean, when you were talking about you do a three-minute posing routine.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know any of the rules whatsoever. I didn't know you should only do, like, a 1 minute. So I also danced to the entire CD. And it was that country and western song, Gumpy Goat. It was very high energy, and I danced to the whole thing. I laugh at it now when I look back. But that was my start. That was in 1994. And I did not compete again till I arrived in Florida in 1997. And I started competing then. I did my first show in 2001. And that very same year, I went on to win 10 titles, first place. I was always the oldest woman in the show. But I still, you know, really just enjoyed what I did. And that was the only reason I did it.
Right. And I know that many bodybuilders, you know, they're looked at like, oh, you're arrogant. No. More bodybuilders that I've interviewed have said, you want to know what saved my life? Bodybuilding. And I was depressed and I was, you know, I was bullied. I mean, I was bullied as a kid myself because I had muscles for a girl, but I also had, you know, the other things that girls had. And it was hard. I was bullied very bad to the point that, you know, I was called a boy. I couldn't help that my father, you know, worshiped, you know, fitness and Arnold and everybody and, you know, followed you. I mean, I text my dad. He's not on social media. He's 78 years old. And I'm like, Dad, you're not going to believe who's on my show. And he's like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Like, we had your magazine, Sean. And Iris, I was so lucky to meet you in Orlando. And like I said, you guys could admit they have the wrong perception of bodybuilders. They're not arrogant. Some of them literally are in the gym for 2 to 3 hours because it's what keeps them from PTSD, from, you know, emotional circumstances. And correct me if I'm wrong there, guys.
Correct.
Oh, you're right on.
Right. Yeah.
You're right on, but I'll tell you my experience is a little bit different because I didn't come into this business because I was bullied or felt awkward or out of place. I was playing football. I injured my knee, and I joined a gym, and I ran into a bodybuilder by the name of John Brown. He's 2-time Mr. Universe, 3-time Mr. World, and he asked me what contest I was training for.
Wow.
I had a natural build just from playing around with the weights, but I wasn't bodybuilding. In football, you bench, you squat, and you deadlift. And he got me ready for a competition in 6 months, and I got second place. And then the next week, I won, and that was it. That's all I needed. I was hooked. I was 17 years old, and I did it all the way till I was 35. And it took me all around the world, and it created a life for me. But that's not something that someone can do for you. It has to come from within. I was hungry and thirsty for knowledge. I didn't have a coach. I didn't have a trainer or a nutritionist. I I copied some things from the magazines and studied from the videos and went to all the shows. And I just, if you want something like that, you kind of have to just, you have to dive in head first, kind of like being a boxer. It's very hard, this bodybuilding, to be a team sport when it's you that has to cook, it's you that has to train, it's you that has to recover from the workouts, and you have to get up and repeat that process day in and day out, sometimes twice a day, weeks, months at a time, chunks out of the year. People come and go in and out of your life. I had school that I had to deal with. I had different gyms I was training at. Relationships were on hold and birthdays. There's a lot of sacrifice involved, but it just seemed with every little step I took forward, I wanted to go further, and I wanted to go further, and I wanted to go further. You lose, you want to, you know, you get fifth, fourth, third, you want to get that number one spot. For me, as a pro, that number one spot was the elusive thing that I continually got me out of bed every single year, and I would just nip away at trying to get to that number one and hovering around second, third, second, fourth, second, fifth. That's how I was able to keep that career of 13 years competing in the Olympia. And the only reason I'm still around and relevant today is because it's a passion that I love. I give it all back to people I come across.
Well, that's definitely for sure. I mean, like I said, I never would have thought, you know, if you would have told me, you know, a year ago, you're going to have, you know, one of the most, you know, renowned, you know, inspirational bodybuilders, people that you followed, which is Iris and you, on your show, I would have been like, yeah, okay. You know, what are you drinking? You know, and it's just, like I said earlier, you really have made a way for many athletes, Sean, that probably would not have got into bodybuilding if it wasn't for you continuously, you know, 13 times, like you said, second, fourth, second, third, and you still kept going where, you know, I've researched, nobody else kept going. You know, I've been researching it like, oh, nope, because they won a few and then they were like, they were done. Okay, yeah, I won this title, I won that title, and now I'm going to, you know, build my family or do whatever. But I mean, I say perseverance and because it's your passion and it's your love, you never stopped and you're still not going to stop. And I'm excited because, you know, we share, you know, birthday month, you know, September 8th, mine, September 9th is yours. And I know that you are going to be involved in something in Las Vegas on or around your birthday, correct?
Yeah, I'll be there. The Canadians, Mark Anthony, your first Olympic physique champion, and his wife, newlywed, Jen Dory, she's the reigning bikini Olympia winner. They're putting on their very first contest promotion called the High Roller at Alexis Park in Las Vegas, where I'll be emceeing a show November the 5th, which is the Las Vegas Classic. So I'm going up there to support them with our supplement company that I represent, Mutant, which is a Canadian-based company. These are Canadians promoting this contest, so we're going to go up there and show them some love. But for Iris, I've been promoting the Sean Ray Hawaiian Classic in Hawaii for the past 6 years, and my sister has been there each time helping during the cash register or registration or whatever. And she just turned 59 in June, and she told me when she turned 59, she says, I'm going to do your show, but I'm scared because I'm a little up there in age. I said, well, my masters, I have 35 to 45 and 45 to 50. So I'm going to create 55 plus so you can do the show. That means my sister's 59. She goes, I know, but I don't think there's going to be anybody competing. I said, why? So nobody competes.
Oh yes,
that
there
long.
Will.
Iris will be there. I promise. Iris will be there.
Well,
I'm
going to
be on the show with
promoters.
One of the unicorns in longevity, and that was you. And I told her about you, and she got fired up, and she's motivated.
See, Iris, he told his sister about you, and now she's motivated. Like I said, the honor was mine in Orlando, Iris, to stand next to the most beautiful soul that I've ever met. And I mean, you smiled. I mean, it was if I'm not mistaken, it was the Dexter Classic, correct?
It was the Mid Florida Classic, I believe.
Mid Florida Classic, and then you also got a lifetime award. Like I mean, it was so great because as soon as you introduced me to the promoter, and he said you can sit right up front, I was like, I felt like I was at royalty, you know. And then I got to interview you, but you know, it was such a life changing experience for me that, you know, I'm eternally grateful for that. But I mean, literally, I'm hoping we've 15 minutes left. I know that John has a question for you, Iris, and hopefully our other guest, maybe something happened. There might be an issue with calling in. But Layla Hanna is another amazing, amazing woman who is, you know, blowing up the bodybuilding circuit, but she hasn't called in yet. So hopefully, Layla, we can, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in time, but if she's not able to be on this show, then I'll definitely have her on next week's show. But John, go ahead and ask Iris a question.
It's an honor to talk to you now.
Oh, it's my honor. Believe me, it's my honor.
What a motivation you are, especially for my sisters, even, who I can't wait to tell them about you. Miss Iris, if I'm correct that you have 16 NPC first place titles, what went through your head when you won your very first one?
Well, I was very astounded because I entered two categories. I entered the mixed pairs with a guy who was 10 years younger than me. He was 47 and I was 57. I was the oldest woman in the show. And I got first place in the mixed pairs. And the category that I had to enter, which was women over 45, they were considered seniors. I entered the women over 45 and me being 57. So again, I was at least 12 years older than all my competitors.
Wow.
And I won first place.
That I'm telling you, this is crazy.
I was just amazed. I mean, of course, I jumped. Actually, I did something that you're not supposed to do on stage. I threw my arms in the air and danced and danced and danced and danced. I just kept twirling around with my hands in the air, whooping for joy.
Well, I'm sure you motivated the men that you beat. I bet they probably trained harder that year than they had their entire lives after they...
Yeah.
I got beat by a woman, right.
The one in England, I was very modest because I did. But it's when I won the one in Florida, and that was my biggest show, the NPC. That was a step up from the one I did in London. It was that one that I won against. I had like five competitors, I believe, and three competitors in the mixed pairs, three couples. And I got first place in both.
Oh. Wow.
That was amazing. And that very same year, I went on to win about eight, I can't really remember, eight or nine more first places.
Wow.
I won the Mid-Florida Classic in 2001. I won it again in 2003. I took second place in 2010, and in 2020, I won it again, overall.
You're like the Energizer Bunny, Iris. You just keep going and going and going and going.
It has to be those Irish genetics.
In 2030.
What it was I had retired in 2010. And the reason I retired was because I had to go up against women 50 years old.
Right.
That wasn't fair because there's a huge difference, even in the skin tone.
Right.
And I thought, no, I'm not competing. But I never stopped working out. And I just kept working, and I've got my own gym, and I just kept training. I was doing great success as a trainer. I got three young men started into the bodybuilding world, turned champions into all of them. And I just decided I better write to the promoters. So I wrote to very progressive promoters, Tim Gardner and Deke Warner, if I may mention their names. And I told them, I said, look, you know, I'm 76 and I can't go up against a woman who's 50.
Right.
So you need to, I said, the world needs to know, this is exactly what I wrote to them. I said, the world needs to know you can still build muscle when you're in your 60s.
Absolutely.
And 70s. But so by now I'm 76. And they both just jumped at the chance, and they said, you're on. They said, we'll give you your own category. So that was the very, very first time they put in categories for over 60.
And now everybody's doing it. Yep.
Everybody's doing
it. Uh-huh. Look
finally,
at you.
Gary Udit. Yeah, finally, Gary Udit of the Nationals. I wrote to him a couple of times and asked him if he was ever going to do, you know, seniors was 45 was considered seniors. Well, by the time a lot of women have been training for 30 years, where with me it's 55.
Wow.
So they finally relented and they put on, and they had six ladies over 60 for the first time ever in the Nationals. Six fantastic ladies, and the over 70s, they had two. Myself and some lady who, excellent, by the way, but she had just turned 70 about 2 weeks before. So I was, once again, I was the oldest.
Wow.
But I went on to win it 3 months later.
Well, I have a feeling Sean might, for his Hawaiian Classic, I would love for him to open up. Like you said, he's got the over for his sister, and I would be honored and gracious if I would be able to present a medal when Iris, you know, wins the over 70 in your show, because I've been watching, and more people now are you know, literally saying, you know, why am I stopping bodybuilding? I mean, why? I'm still breathing. I'm above ground. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, like I said, Iris, you literally have paved a way, just like Sean, for people to continue. And even though Sean, like he says, I've been retired, but now he's, you know, speaking and emceeing and has his own show and his own supplement company. And I definitely, you know, want to get with you, Sean, on that, because I'm ready. You know, the doctors are like, you know what, you just do what you feel, no matter what we tell you to do, you're going to do the opposite. And I want to definitely do this. But if you guys can hold on for, we have about another 8 minutes, but I do have to go to commercials here for just a few minutes, and we'll be right back on 106.1 FM. This is The Real Lisa V, Getting Ripped with Lisa V.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
That's right, C'est La Vie Nail Salon, located at 1401 34th Street North. Phone number 727-873-7546. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 7:30, and Sunday, 10:30 to 5:30. If you want affordable, clean, and a friendly nail salon, you definitely want to see C'est La Vie Nail Bar. Let me tell you about Redemption Auto Sales, located at 11001 Seminole Boulevard, Largo, Florida, 33778. Phone number 727-200-2468. Bad credit, no credit. If you want to get a great quality used car where they take exceptionally good care of you with great Google ratings, you want to definitely go see Kyle at Redemption Auto Sales. Hi, good evening, and let me tell you about Clearwater Beaches 24-Hour Fitness. They are located at 795 Bayway Boulevard, Clearwater Beach, Florida, 33767. Phone number 727-286-8918. Website clearwaterbeachfitness.com, and you definitely want to go there. Juan and Julie will take care of you, and you will look your best.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
All right, we're back, and I'm just, like I said, I still can't believe that I have Iris Davis and Sugar Sean Ray. Sugar, how'd you get so fly? I'm also a singer, by the way. I'm a jack of all trades, I was told. But, you know, we're going to be closing. We got about 6 minutes left. I know that John is here, and Sean, what would you like to tell our listeners? What words would you like to leave them with, as far as, you know, whatever you want to say, the floor is yours, and you've got, you know, all the time that you need.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, this is not a sport that rubs off. Like, it's either in you, and it's something you want to do for change, whether it's for the better, to overcome confidence issues, weight issues, courage. It's not for the faint of heart, because it takes a lot of discipline. Anyone can lift weights. It takes a real strong personality to eat disciplined through the holidays and birthdays and the temptations of all the junk food, the commercials on TV, to be able to shop and buy your own food and cook and prepare your own food according to your fitness goals. So it's not something that you can look at and go, hey, I can do that. Yeah, you can do it, but to what degree is going to depend on where your passion is and what your purpose is. And you find that through the journey. It's not something that comes to you like a light going on and off. Sometimes you have to go through a lot of struggles to figure out why you're doing this and where you want to go with it and how long you want to do it. And then figure out what does it all mean? It's a lot of time. It's a lot of investment. It can cost a lot of money. Not everyone's going to understand what you're trying to do with your body and with your influence. So for me, I just kind of hung on while others were dropping away because my success didn't rise and fall on whether I won or lost. Every time I got ready for a show, it was a different process, a different journey for me of exploration and conditioning and size and strength and recovery and how I wanted to promote myself when it was over with, because I looked at myself as a product. I'm the product. I'm the art. I got to construct it, and then I got to go out and market it and find a way to, monetize it, because I put so much into it. I needed to find a way to reward myself, and through the seminar circuit and having success against world-class athletes, I was able to do that for the past 3 decades. But this isn't something that you can just encourage someone to do. They've got to be passionate about it if they want to go somewhere with it. And obviously, Iris is the expert on longevity because I've fallen off the wagon a million times on my diet. But I still go back to the base, which is eat, sleep, and train. And that's my life. I mean, like the air I breathe and the food I eat. Every day, movement is key. I'm doing a lot like I started. I'm walking a lot. I'm riding a bike a lot. And I'm combining those two things with the physical fitness in the gym. I'm no longer bodybuilding. I'm exercising. And that's what you do when you retire from competition, because otherwise you can really go into the danger zone. And I don't want to tear a muscle. I don't want to injure my hip. I don't want to blow out my shoulder. So exercise and movement, my training's evolved for longevity and general fitness over bodybuilding.
Right. And that's the thing is even though you're not competing anymore, it is your lifestyle. It's your passion. And that's what some people, I know I've had friends that, are competitors, and because their spouse didn't understand, when they got together, this is my life. And then sometimes, it doesn't, work as well because the spouse doesn't understand. And like you said, I had somebody tell me years ago, there's one spoon can be the difference between fifth place and winning. One spoon of something that you're not supposed to eat can literally like wreck your whole diet that you've done for, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And, I've seen a lot of, and this is something I also wanted, we have 2 minutes left, but I want you guys to give me a quick thing. I know that you've seen, I hate to say it in the news, a lot of bodybuilders have, gone to, to meet Jesus and be with God, but some of them do some things that are not healthy. And you two, I know for a fact, just from your years of experience, what would you tell an 18 and 19 year old, bodybuilder who knows nothing, who really doesn't research it, what would you tell them? Like, hey, you can't do this. This is how you should do it. Iris, we've got about a minute. So if you would like to take that, I'd appreciate it. What would you tell, an 18-year-old how to get in this and do it correctly and not the way that, social media might be showing?
Well, I think I would ask them, how long do they want to live? Because you don't have longevity if you take too many supplements, shall I just say. And it's not good for your heart or your liver or your health. And bodybuilding and competing is supposed to be about health and fitness. And a lot of times, my fellow bodybuilders are not really fit and healthy, but they're strong and they're big. And that's their desire.
Right. Well, I've got 10 seconds left. I feel bad. It goes quickly. But Sugar Sean Ray, thank you so much for being here. Iris, thank you for being here. And Dan, the man, my partner, my promoter in this GBO, thank you for being on. And once again, John, my co-host, and over and out, the real Lisa V.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.